الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وشنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العارية معدات، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic of discussion today is with regards to the importance of consideration for one another. This is a very, very important topic, because in this world, on earth, we are living with fellow human beings. We are not living on our own. So therefore, this topic of consideration for one another is very, very important. In Islam, there are two very, very important components. The first component is with regards to huququllah. This is known as the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second important component is huququl ibad, and that is rights towards one's fellow human beings. Now, as far as both components is concerned, both components actually complements each other. If a person only worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfills the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on the other hand, a person disregards the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person here is doomed. On the other hand, if a person only fulfills the rights of one's fellow human beings and disregards the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Islamic Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is at a great loss. So we understand, as far as consideration for one another is concerned, it is of pivotal importance. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when it came to their level of consideration, they learned from none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was actually the embodiment of akhlaq, the embodiment of consideration. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the embodiment of akhlaq. He is the embodiment of character. It is as though there is a throne of consideration, a throne of akhlaq, and the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sitting on the throne of akhlaq, on the throne of consideration for one another. Therefore, we will just mention a few examples and learn from these examples how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered his fellow human beings. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentions that when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a program at night, and now after the program he was entering the home, he entered the home in such a considerate manner that if somebody was sleeping, they would not be disturbed by the manner that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home. And on the contrary, if that person inside the house was awake, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home, he firstly made salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in such a manner that that person who was inside the home, if that person was awake, that person could hear the salam and respond to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is as far as the etiquettes of the home is concerned. That is why these days people always complain that my house is not convenient. My house is not comfortable anymore. I have a big house. I have a beautiful house. But I want to leave my house and look for other places in order to enjoy and in order to be happy and enjoy some priceless moments with my family. But the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُ, that make your house spacious. These days it's a misconception that if I don't have a big house, then my house is not spacious and beautiful. Even if you have a small home, but if the inhabitants of that home has love for one another, if you reciting Quran in that home, if you making salam when you enter that home, if you giving adhan on a weekly basis in that home, then that home will be, even if it's a small home, it will be the best home on the planet. Therefore, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always advocates that when you enter the home, make salam. Why? Because it actually chases away all the bad shayateen. And when you make salam, all the bad shayateen understands that, you know what, now this is not any ordinary home. This is a Muslim home. That is why certain salah also, after the Isha salah, certain rakats, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it out so that he could read it at home. Why? Because the shayateen, the bad shayateen, they can understand that, you know what, this is a Muslim home. So very, very important is how we make our home beautiful. Our principal at the school, he mentions that you don't have to have a lot of money to enjoy peace and comfort in the home. Let's take an example of, a simple example of tennis, table tennis. Table tennis is quite expensive. You need a huge space also. But if you take your table, you cordon it off. You know the Tupperware, the lid of the Tupperware. You buy one ping pong ball from any Chinese shop. It's so cheap. It's about 10 rand. And yourself and your wife or your child, you all can hold the lid from the luncheon and you all can hit it. You have your table tennis right there for you. So you need to look at examples, look at ways to make your home beautiful. It mustn't be such that every single opportunity you're looking to leave your home. And only these days you see a lot of people, they happy, they enjoying themselves outdoors at the restaurant. But when they go in at home, then it's a different ball game altogether. That is why very, very important. We learn from this hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha that make sure you make salam. And we learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal yasa'ka baytuk, that make your home spacious. Make it a very lovely environment. Our women folk, they are making lovely meals for us. We can go outside, tidy the place. And in this way, inshallah, our home will be beautiful. Let's look at another example. Remember, we talking about consideration for one's fellow human beings and the importance of it. And we're learning from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his advices, whatever he said, this is lessons for us through the passage of time. Every other celebrity, every other iconic person, every other influencer, every other personality, they, whatever they advocated, it is specifically for their generation. Once they gone, you don't even hear about them. Let's take one example. The example of Messi, the example of Cristiano Ronaldo. They are getting old now. You don't even hear any mention of them anymore. But the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 114 years ago, 1400 years ago, but people are still mentioning. And he will always be mentioned right till the day of Qiyamah. There was a boy that was walking in the Saf. He was actually crying because he couldn't find his father. Imagine, for such a great tenant of Islam for Salah, out of consideration for the small boy, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shortened the Salah. Why? Because perhaps this boy is crying because he cannot find his father. We know when we stand in Salah, there are so many people that are standing in the Saf. And this boy was crying because he wanted to find his father. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of consideration for the small boy that cannot even think and does not even have any level of intelligence, for this small boy, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shortened the salah so that why? This small boy can find his father. These days, there's a lot of turmoil. In the month of Ramadan, everything was peaceful, everything was calm. Nobody came with any divorce issues, fighting between the husband and wife. Why? Because in the month of Ramadan, we adopted a very, very high level of restraint. Now we see not even 1 month after the month of Ramadan and so many cases are coming. Why? Because there's no restraint. There's no consideration. The wife is not considering the husband. The husband is not considering the wife. We need to go home. Tell our woman folk that from today on, inshallah, we must try to adopt the highest level of consideration for one another. And we see, inshallah, by considering the feelings, by considering one another, inshallah, our relationship between our spouses will also be correct and will also be mended. There was a Bedouin. Now, we know the Bedouins, they came from the village. So, as far as their ethics and their morals is concerned, they had a very, very low level of morals and ethics. Once a Bedouin, he just accepted Islam, and now he enters the masjid. And he enters the masjid and he relieves himself. He urinates. Imagine if somebody has to come now, pull his pants down, and make number one. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were up in arms. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood. He had the highest level of consideration. What he said? He said that no. Hold on. Oh Sahaba radiallahu anhum, hold on. Let him relieve himself. He's a new Muslim. We can always teach him later on the importance of the masjid. For now, let him relieve himself. What will be the situation if somebody has to come in our lounge and relieve himself? But this is in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still had the highest level of consideration. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. We mentioning these examples for us to internalize, for us to reflect, for us to analyze our lifestyle. How much of consideration do I have in my life? How much of consideration do I have in my life? If you look at crime, if you look at what is going on now in Palestine, people are just fighting, bombing, killing innocent children. Why? Because they want to secure a certain compound. But if you look at the core reason is no consideration for humanity. If you look at crime as well, people are being robbed, people are being murdered, people are being hijacked. Why? Because there's no level of consideration. Humanity, there's no thought of humanity in people. That is why if you can go home today with at least making this intention that inshallah from today moving on, I'm going to have the highest level of consideration and I'm going to learn from the incidents of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu with regards to how they dealt and what level of consideration they had. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He was the Khalifa, the second Khalifa of Islam. He was a very, very mighty and very strong Khalifa also. When he used to take one route, Shaitan used to take another route. Because of the awe, the bravery and the strength of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they conquered Baytul Maqdis, listen to this example. Remember, we're not talking about any ordinary person. We are talking about the Khalifa of the time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. At that given moment, historians mention that nobody ruled a bigger empire than Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He is the Khalifa. What happens? Now when they invite him to enter Baytul Maqdis after the Sahaba radiallahu anhu conquered Baytul Maqdis, at that time also they never have lots of resources. There was only one mode of transport. There was only one camel. But he also had his slave. How will now the slave and him being the Amirul Mu'minin travel and enter Baytul Maqdis? What high level of consideration he had. What did he say? He says that, I am the Amirul Mu'minin. We only have one conveyance. I will ride for a certain kilometers and you will walk. Just like how you will walk, I will ride. Allahu Akbar. Can you see the slave? What high level of consideration. That is why very, very important. If we have a certain level in our working place, if we are the employee, then make sure we are treating the, if we are the employer, then make sure we are treating the employees properly. We have a high level of consideration for the employees also. And if we have a certain position, make sure we are also considering the feelings of the next human being. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, now when it was time for him to enter Baytul Maqdis, it was now the turn of the slave to ride and for the Amirul Mu'minin, for the Khalifa to actually walk. But he never said, you know, hold on now, the people need to see me as the Amirul Mu'minin coming. I need to be riding. What did he say at this given moment? That, you know what, hold on, it is my turn to walk. I am the Khalifa, I will walk. You are the slave, it is your turn to ride, you will ride. And it so happened, they entered Baytul Maqdis, the slave was riding, and the Amirul Mu'mineen, the Khalifa, he was walking. Allahu Akbar. What a high level of consideration. Just think about this. If each and every human being has and adopts and imbibes within himself a high level of consideration, my question to you all is, will there be any discomfort? Will there be any crime? Will there be any chaos? Will there be any anarchy? Will there be any mayhem? Will there be any difficulty on earth? No, absolutely not. But what we can do, we mustn't say that, hey, you know what, consideration is no longer something significant and important. So what I must do now is, I mustn't have any consideration. No, we must tell ourselves that, you know what, if I can have consideration, if the next person can have consideration, at least in our society, at least in our locality, in our community, at least we will imbibe within us a high level of consideration, and you will see from there, inshallah, we will be fulfilling a very high tenet of Islam, and that is consideration for others. We spoke about this, that a person can't only focus on hukukullah, the importance of worshipping Allah, but neglect hukukul ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, when you are showing inconsiderate nature and behavior to the one's fellow human beings, ultimately you are also showing inconsiderate behavior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that human being, who is he? He is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not anyone insignificant. He is valuable. He is significant, and more especially if he is showing inconsiderate behavior to a Muslim. More especially. Let's look at one incident. We spoke about the importance of consideration for one another. Now on the other hand, let's look at the negative implications for not considering one's human being. Once there was a group of Bedouins. Now we spoke about the Bedouins also. They have a very low level of morals, low level of ethics, low level of characteristics. But nevertheless, they had work with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had work with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the 28th para. This is a real incident. It's not fiction. It's mentioned in the Quran. This happened. They come to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his rooms they call out, Ya Muhammad! Ya Muhammad! Now imagine, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to address the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, this is not considerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately reveals the ayah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi, wa la tajharu lahu bil qawl, ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din, an tahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. That, O believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, talking not only to those people at that given time, but talking to the believers that will come right till the day of Qiyamah. Do not raise your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not talk to one another. Do not talk to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like how you'll talk to one another, lest you will waste all your good deeds without you even realizing. So this is the negative implication. It mustn't be such that we are performing long rakats of salah, we are fasting, we are giving charity, but we are not considering the feelings of the next human being. Because what's going to happen if we're not considering the feelings of the next human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take away our good deeds. And it mustn't be such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away our good deeds and deposit our good deeds into the account of that person that we never have consideration for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now will take the person that we did not consider, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take his bad deeds and deposit it into our account. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Manil Muflis. Who is a bankrupt person? The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala posed this question to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu, if I have to ask someone now, who is a bankrupt person? Manil Muflis. Who is a bankrupt person? We'll say, that person, no money. That person doesn't have any wealth. But the Nabi of Allah subhanahu, this was also the response of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala posed this question. But the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no. A bankrupt person is not that person who comes without, that person who does not have any wealth. A bankrupt person in reality is actually that person who comes with lots of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. But, washata mahada, wadara bahada. But, this person here who came with lots of good deeds, he did not consider the next Muslim brother. He actually rebuked this person. He scolded the next person. He hit this person. Now that person will come with the lots of good deeds, and now his good deeds will be actually deposited into the person, into the the person we victimized, and that person's bad deeds now will come on the person who came with lots of mountains and mountains of good deeds. That is why, dear beloved brothers in Islam, let us make intention today that from now on, inshallah, I'm going to consider the feelings of one's fellow human beings, and more especially the feelings of the next Muslim brother. Because remember, we work so hard to do good deeds. We work so hard to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to come on the day of Qiyamah and all our good deeds are wasted. Imagine you saved so many years, and now when it's time for you to relax, now when it's time for you to go to the ATM and say, you know what, I need a car, and you know that you deposited throughout the years, you save 100,000. Now when you go to the bank account, they say that, you know what, your bank is seized. You can't withdraw that money. How painful it will be. But even more painful than this worldly loss is when we come on the day of Qiyamah and we have no good deeds because we did not consider the feelings of our next human being. That is why the ultimate loss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَذَلِكَ الْخِزْيُ الْعَظِيمُ. The ultimate loss is when a person does not come on the day of Qiyamah with any good deeds. Because remember, on the day of Qiyamah, for us to have eternal success, for us to have eternal success, the currency of the hereafter is good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to imbibe within us the highest level of consideration for one another. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that when we come on the day of Qiyamah, our good deeds must be intact, and it mustn't be such that because we do not consider the feelings of another person, our good deeds must be deposited into the victimized account. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ